The world around us may seem sturdy, but it's sinking fast. Just like the Titanic was called unsinkable, the world offers false guarantees of security and fulfillment. But what if you're investing in something destined to fail? In today's lesson, we'll dive into three life-changing principles to help you walk in the light, live with courage, and live for eternity. If you're ready to align your life with unshakable truth, keep listening.
I have read that when the Titanic set sail on her maiden voyage back in April 1912, it was the most luxurious vessel ever built. It had state-of-the-art safety features, including a double hull with 16 watertight compartments. It was declared unsinkable. Well, on that first voyage, an iceberg in the North Atlantic just sliced through the ship's hull like a knife cutting through butter. And in less than 3 hours, that unsinkable Titanic went to the bottom of the ocean. Tragically, 1,500 passengers went with it to a watery grave. I have read that first-class tickets would have cost, in today's economy, nearly $100,000. But do you think anyone would have paid even $1 had they known the outcome? Nobody buys a ticket to board a sinking ship. Have you ever thought about the fact that people today are investing their lives in a ship that God has publicly announced is going to sink? Well, that ship is the world, and it is swiftly heading toward an iceberg called the judgment of God. But here's the good news. God has a guarantee of safety, unsinkability, if you please, and only He can ensure this. And that guarantee is found in our text for today here on our wisdom journey. We're in John's first letter, 1 John chapter 2, where John presents three commands for us to follow as we sail toward our eternal heavenly harbor. Here's the first command. Don't walk in the darkness, but in the light. John writes now in verse 3, "And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, 'I know Him,' but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Well, after hearing these verses, maybe you're thinking, I'm going to be thrown overboard because I can't keep God's commandments. Never mind an iceberg. Now, I've read commentators who are convinced John is trying to identify unsaved people here for daring to think that, you know, they were genuine Christians. But that's not the heart and spirit of John's letter. He's writing to reassure believers, not terrify anybody. And let me add, John isn't promoting a work's salvation. He's not suggesting that if we obey God's commandments, we get to sail into heaven. If that were the case, well, we would all sink because we can't keep His commandments. John is referring to our personal priorities and desires. You see, a genuine believer truly wants to obey the Lord. I like to say this is the direction his toes are pointed. John goes on to say here that those who claim to know the Lord but show no desire at all to obey Him, well, they're lying. They're lying to you. They're lying to God. They're not fooling anybody. Maybe they're fooling themselves. See, this is no different from what Jesus said about determining true believers. He said in Matthew 7:20, "You will recognize them by their fruits." In other words, a genuine believer wants to obey God because he truly loves God. And when he doesn't obey God, he feels terrible about it and wants to confess his sin. That's what John is effectively saying here in verse 5. If we set the priority of our lives to obey God's word, he writes, the love of God is perfected in us. Now, perfected doesn't mean you reach perfection. It means that God's love is demonstrated fully in and through our lives. John then tells his readers that he's not teaching them something new. He writes here in verse 7, "Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning." Well, he's talking here about Jesus' teaching that the greatest commandment in God's law is love, Matthew chapter 22. Now with that, John gets back to talking about light and darkness. He says here in verse 8, "The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining." In other words, the love of Christ is shining already in the world through us, his followers. And if it's not shining, well, if we're hating a brother in Christ or treating other Christians like enemies, well, John writes here in verse 9 that we're walking back there in the shadows of darkness from our old lifestyle of sin. We're acting just like the dark and blinded world around us. Now, again, is it possible for a true Christian to be hateful toward others? Can true Christians carry a grudge and develop resentment that sort of turns down the light of their testimony and makes them look no better than a shadowy, dark world? Well, absolutely. I've met a few of them along the way. In fact, I myself have been unkind and resentful at times, and you have too. Beloved, it's possible for a believer somewhere along the way, maybe it's because of a painful insult or mistreatment or loss or disappointment, to choose to water those seeds of resentment and hatred and turn down the light of obedience and joy and live back there in the shadows. Well, neither John the Apostle nor God wants you living back there in the shadows. They want you walking in the light. Now, here's the second command. Don't walk in fear, but with courage. And John's going to give us a shot of encouragement here as he addresses believers who are in differing stages of maturity. He says here in verse 12, "I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven." Children here are young believers, and this basic reminder needs to be reinforced to new believers that they have truly been forgiven. Well, then here in verse 13, and again in verse 14, the apostle writes, "I am writing to you fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning." Now here, John is reassuring more spiritually mature believers of the deeper truths of Jesus' eternal preexistence from eternity past. In the middle of verse 13, John says, "I am writing to you young men, because you have overcome the evil one." Well, these are believers standing in the thick of the fight against the evil one, and they are reassured of their ultimate victory in Christ. Well, let me give you the third command from John. Let me put it this way. Don't live for a doomed world, but for eternity. Now, John states that rather bluntly here in verse 15. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, again, when you hear these words, your first reaction might be a little sense of dread. Oh, no, there are a lot of things in this world I love. I love the mountains, beautiful sunsets, and even playing golf every now and then. Well, before you go out there and burn your golf clubs, John defines what he means by the world, loving the world. Verse 16, "For all that is in the world," here it is, "the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." John is talking here about craving, sinful, forbidden desires. Get the warning, verse 17. He says, "And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." You see, beloved, this world is a sinking ship. It's heading for a collision with the truth, with the justice of a holy God. I remember reading that following the Titanic's sinking, the challenge was how to inform all the relatives whether their loved ones were alive or dead. At the White Star Line's office in Liverpool, England, which had been in charge of the ticketing, a huge board was set up. On one side was a heading that read, at the very top of the board, "Known to be saved," and on the other side was the heading, "Known to be lost." Well, hundreds of people would come at different times and gather to watch the updates whenever a messenger brought news, and they held their breaths as the names were added to the columns Let me tell you, although the passengers were first class, second class, and third class, after that ship went down, there were only two categories, the saved and the lost. You know, I couldn't help but think that today, every passenger on planet Earth belongs to one of only two categories. It won't matter how nice your house was, or whether, you know, you were wealthy or you struggled financially. What will matter is in which category your name is written, known to be saved or known to be lost. Well, if you aren't already among the saved, let me tell you, there's a lifeboat that stands ready. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. Let me invite you today, don't wait. Climb aboard. Be rescued by placing your faith in Jesus Christ, and you'll be safe forever. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called Unsinkable Truth. The world is sinking fast, but God offers an unsinkable way forward. Walk in the light, live with courage, and set your heart on eternity. In Christ, you're guaranteed safe passage to eternal life. To learn more about us, I invite you to visit wisdomonline.org. Our website is home to Stephen's entire Bible teaching ministry, including hundreds of sermons and daily broadcasts. Each day's broadcast is posted right on the homepage, so if you miss a lesson, you can easily catch up. You can also navigate through previous broadcasts if you want to revisit older teachings. This way, you'll never miss a message. Stephen's sermons, which span over four decades, are also available on that site. They're organized by Book of the Bible, making it easy to find a specific study. Whether you want to listen to a sermon or read the manuscript, you'll find everything you need right there. Best of all, everything is free. You can access Stephen's teaching library and daily broadcast anytime at wisdomonline.org. Explore today and deepen your understanding of God's Word. Join us next time to continue along this wisdom journey.